It's my pleasure to introduce today's speakers from Nemours Children's Hospital, Delaware. Dr. Edna Gillum is Assistant Vice President of Perioperative Services and SPD. Dr. Sharon Udi Jancic is Perioperative Services Clinical Nurse Educator, Transition to Practice. Kwame Gaba is Sterile Processing Manager. Please join me in welcoming today's speakers.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Edna Gillum, and I'm excited to talk about this topic today because SPD is truly a passion of mine. As a perioperative leader, I find that SPD is one of the most critical departments in the hospital, but one of the most least understood. So I don't know if there's any SPD professionals in the room, but I just want to shout you out and thank you for everything that you do. So I guess we need to say that there is no financial conflict of interest to disclose. And some of the goals that we wanted to discuss in this presentation is one, to develop consistent internal benchmarks to measure both the productivity and quality of SPD. We also wanted to translate SPD quality and performance metrics to the C-suite in defense of resources. I think that, and by the way, let me go back. I am the Assistant Vice President of Perioperative Services and SPD for the Delaware Valley at Nemours Children's Hospital, Delaware. And I think in my tenure as a perioperative leader, I've always struggled with advocating for resources for SPD. Not just resources, but also compensation. So I don't know if there's other periop leaders in the room, but I'm sure that you all can kind of relate. We also wanted to align staffing models with the actual work that happens in SPD. And then we want to promote professional development through the establishment of an SPD technician pipeline. So to tell you a little bit about Nemours Children's Hospital, we do have two freestanding hospitals, one in Wilmington, Delaware, and the other in Orlando, Florida. We work specifically at the one in Delaware where we have 222 operational beds. We are three-time magnet designated. And in my portfolio, I manage the main campus perioperative department, which is a level one pediatric trauma center, and two ambulatory surgery centers, one in Defford, New Jersey, and the other in Malvern, PA. At our main campus, we have 12 ORs, two short procedure rooms, and one endo suite. We are verified by the American College of Surgeons. We're nationally ranked in children's specialty. We take care of roughly 480,000 children annually. We're located in 95 plus locations, and we perform roughly 14,000 cases annually, surgical cases. So I just want to go back to how we, the catalyst for this presentation. About a year ago, we were at a OR Directors Forum, Sharon and myself, and during an open forum, one perioperative leader stood up and asked the question, how do you determine productivity in SPD? And as the OR directors began to, you know, talk about how their organization determines productivity, it was very clear that there are no standards that hospitals are consistently using. So one hospital said, we use hours per patient day, which has absolutely nothing to do with SPD. We had another hospital say that they use case volume, which is better, but still really doesn't speak to the productivity of SPD. So as we came back to our department, we called Kwame and said, Kwame, help us with this. How are we looking at SPD metrics? What does the evidence say? And again, it was clear that there are no standards that hospitals are using consistently. So our goal was to initiate our own internal metrics because often as a perioperative leader, what I hear, whenever there's a problem with the tray from a surgeon, it's there's always a problem with a tray. And so we wanted to, you know, have metrics that we can either validate that or say, not so much, you don't always have a problem with a tray. And then we wanted to develop a process to review metrics over time. I wanted to use these metrics to be able to advocate for resources, i.e. capital requests or labor resources. So, our call to action. As we did some research, we looked at just some of the things that have come up in the last year by way of SPD. And I think we can all agree that these were articles on front pages of paper, which is an organization's worst nightmare. And in one of these hospitals, I believe it was Virginia, it was a whistleblower that called the Department of Health and reported contaminated instruments. So we wanted a way to be more proactive instead of reactive. So this starts our journey, and I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Judy Janczyk.
Thank you so much for bearing with our tag team effort, but this is a team sport for sure. Historically, this slide represents how productivity was looked at in SPD. And for those of you who may have some knowledge or awareness of this, how many of you are aware that your C-suite is using the number of cases that your operating room does every day to decide how many people you need in SPD? Raise a hand. Absolutely fair. There's a couple other points that were made at the same conference that Edna and I were at, where people were using surgical minutes, adjusted patient days, discharges, the number of minutes per surgical procedure, the number of minutes per adjusted discharge, none of which is directly related to the work that's being done in SPD or the number of SPD technicians you need to do the work. So, more recently, there is a greater focus on trays and not the surgical cases. Some of the ways in which productivity is being looked at is using score complexity by specialty organizing the trays, measuring them or grading them on a scale of 1 to 10, measuring them based on a perceived complexity, size based upon how big or small the tray might be, and the number of instruments that are in each tray, as well as assembly times to determine workload, which all requires a lot of energy and effort, and time studies, which most of us at this point have yet to do. So the definition of productivity is really pretty simple. It's output over input. And the number of trays processed, actually more recently, is what is most frequently cited as the productivity metric. Interestingly enough, the number of trays only represents the output, doesn't take into consideration any of the input and what it takes to actually provide those trays to the operating room. And it's a very important piece of the puzzle. Recognizing the end game is quality, there are efficiencies that need to be accomplished. But we are moving in the right direction, but need to be a bit clearer about what productivity is and how we actually measure it. When we looked at our input, knowing that that is lacking in terms of the productivity measure, we started working through and thinking through some of the things that are part of our input, and these may be familiar to you as well. Preference card accuracy, and I don't know how familiar all of you are with preference cards, but I think there's always room for improvement no matter what institution that you're looking at, and that can make it very difficult for an SPD technician to pick a case if the preference card is inaccurate. One of our problems is they don't always have a location, as to where the supplies are located. So they're going up and down aisles looking for things because it's not identified on the preference card. Case cart picking, it's a time study. Case cart delivery to the OR, returning the case carts to SPD, the time in decontamination that it takes to process the instruments that we just used in the OR, prepping and packing them, sterilizing them, storing them on the shelves, not to mention case cancellation and add-ons that are interrupting the flow, at least with the add-ons because they have to stop what they're doing to create another case cart for a patient that just came through the emergency department, and the effort and time that they put into picking cases that are now canceled that they have to break down and put all of that away. These are disruptions to their workflow, which again, for the most part, are not taken into consideration. The other thing to consider when you're talking about productivity and input and output are the variables in how SPD technicians function in each hospital by job description, reporting structure, skill, and resources. Some SPDs have responsibility allocated to the technicians that are outside the OR. We do. We have a lot of clinics inside our hospital, and so even though the OR is the main focus of the instrumentation, there are many clinics throughout our hospital that they also have to attend to. Some SPD departments apply the responsibility of materials management to SPD technicians when their primary focus is instrumentation, but again, it is an additional responsibility that may take away from their primary focus. The preference card accuracy and inaccuracy we just spoke about, the skill of the SPD technician, are they new? Have they been there only a few months or have they been there many years, that they're a bit more skilled and maybe more efficient when you've got somebody that has a learning curve that might not be as productive or work as efficiently as someone else. Instrument inventory and availability, that can either help you or hurt you. If you have inventory backup when things are missing or broken, you can readily replace them. If not, you're running around looking for things, trying to make do, communicating with people about what you don't have. Supply inventory and availability when it comes to picking the cases. Our SPD technicians do pick the soft goods in addition to the instrumentation. And so not being terribly well-versed in what every product is that we use and what it's used for, it's really not within their scope to be able to pick and choose other supplies to make do when something isn't available. So that requires additional work and looking and conversation. And then instrument supply and returns, which we already kind of mentioned with all of the backup inventory that we're very fortunate to have, but it doesn't eliminate the fact that we still have to order instruments sometimes when they are missing. And this is where Kwame comes in, tag team.
Thank you very much, everybody, for coming. I just want to share something. During my early managerial start years, I remember being part of the numbers in terms of helping the staff to process trace. So I got to a point that, I was being pulled away from the job that I was supposed to be focused on doing. So I went to my my director, Perry Opp, and asked that we reevaluate the staffing needs of the department. All right, the first thing that she told me was, well, let's look at the cases that we've been doing of late in the OR. The numbers are either the same or they've decreased. So how are you able to justify that you need more FTEs? So that led me to start pulling numbers for my team. All right. So we're going to go over some numbers, some metrics, staff and equipment, instruments, and endoscopes as well. So staffing, SPD in Nemours is a 24-hour department. I know some SPDs are not. Most SPDs are 24 hours. We have close to, hold on 1 second, let me see this. So our cases are often used as the only benchmark to measure FTEs, as I said before, which shouldn't be the case. By comparing instrument process, you can measure the department's productivity, which captures all items processed and sterilized. So my department has one sterilism school, one Ceres Armco 600 series, and three of the 600 series. One is smaller we use that for quick turnovers. These sterilizers are standalone sterilizers. They produce their own steam, which is great for the department because previously, a lot of hospitals' sterilizers are connected to the boiler. So we do not, most of the time when departments, hospitals are, boilers are being cleaned or serviced, it affects SPD. We don't have that at the MOS. We have two V-Pros, three ultrasonics, one specifically for eye instruments, the washer disinfector for our washer case carts and containers. Prep and pack tables, we have 7 stations, 5 sinks, three sinks in Deacon Tam. Medivators, we have 3 medivators and 1 Veriscan automated endoscope leak tester. We have 6 boroscopes. We're happy to have 6 boroscopes. We have 1 in Deacon Tam and 5 in prep and pack station in most of the stations. So as I said earlier on, it's very, very good for SPD department to have their sterilizers as a standalone operating for us for themselves, because like I said before, if you have issues with your boiler, it will stop your process in SPD in terms of your washers and also your sterilizers. And these sterilizers are standalone sterilizers that generate their own steam. So going back to instruments that were sterilized throughout the, we compare year to year. This is 2023. We started collecting data and comparing it to this year. Instrument going through the high low temp sterilization are tracked monthly and compared to previous month, and that's factored into the request for how we request for FTEs. Another vital part of our tracking system that we track as a department is missing instrumentation and trays. We all know it's, every department has that. And by way of making sure that we send trays that are complete to OR, we track this, and it's done by service line. We can see that, highlights the most missing instruments. And digging deep down, these were mostly consignment trays that have implants. So the bulk of the missing were implants, implant trays. Another thing too that we turn now to focus on is consignment trays. Most of the time, consignment trays are sent to us by reps, and if you look on the count sheet, it says 0. All right, most techs just check for cleanliness and then they will wrap it. But that doesn't help us as a department to report all the instruments that we are checking for cleanliness before sterilization. So if you have that in your department, maybe it's something that we have to start looking at, that every tray that comes to the department should have a account sheet that comes with it, and we should be able to account for every instrument that is being being sterilized. All right. So as a team, SPD team, we all know that if we are to write as leaders, if we are to write every tech up after coaching and everything, if they make a mistake, we will not have any SPD techs working in our department. All right? So by doing this, we came up with a committee, which included the technicians as well, to come up with this defect tracking tool for associates. So they were part of this and was approved. So in order to hold technicians accountable and do some training as well, this is what we came up with, which is something that is very good. It's been working well for us. You know, and with all this, there is education that comes in place as well with, you know, with the educator. So for this is a one-tray numbers for the month of for the whole year, last year and this year. This is something that we also track because if you find yourself as an SPD department, you know, one train particular tray for quite some time or over and over, that will, you have to look at it and make sure that you're going to your leaders to make sure that you are either increasing the power level on this tray or, you know, find a reason why these trays have been one tray. Are they loaners that are coming in, or are they consignment that we only have one off? Most of these trays that we one tray are PRN on cases. And also, if a tray is not used on a case, it, you know, gets opened and reprocessed into, you know, a regular tray to go back in service. Endoscopes. These are our endoscope reprocessing numbers. We did do a good job the last quarter of last year by doing a trial. So what we found out was, you know, a lot of us, so our scopes were 7-day expiration dates. So a lot of the scopes were coming back after 7 days unused. So this is what we got together with infection control, peri-op team, GI, and regulatory, and we did a trial. We did a trial for 3 months, the last quarter of last year, on 14 days expiration. So scopes were being trialed on a 14-day cycle, and once the scopes came in on the 14-day cycle, they were cultured, they were tested for protein presence. So we had zero errors on in terms of scope that came out, came back to us, and we tested for protein that. So we made a case with the numbers to ask for us to move to 14 days. So we are now 14 days. This was a big project, and it wasn't an easy task. It was something that we took pride in putting together. So we are now 14 days on expiration for scopes. It has saved us a lot of money. We did a cost analysis on it. It saved us a lot of money. And I think we're going to have an article on it in healthcare purchasing news coming out in November, December. So if you have the chance to take a look at it, it has all the good things that we were able to put together. So this is part of what I just spoke about the moving from 7 days to 14 days. As you can see, these are the numbers, some of the data that was collected, and some of the, you know, the money that potentially we're going to be saving for the whole year. I'm going to hand it over to
Tag team again.
Yes.
This slide represents a lot of work between our respective departments, supported by both Kwame and Edna, in terms of professional development for SBD technicians. And as an educator, I try where I can to be very supportive of all of this, to the extent that what you see here is we have what we call a wall of fame, that everybody's certificates are mounted on the wall based on the certifications that they have, which is nice to walk by every day. At the top, you can see the total number of certificates that our SPD technicians possess. Now, in the state of Delaware, CRCST is required, and so part of their job description is they have to be certified as a condition of employment. But there are three other certifications that they are able to acquire. One of the ones that we're focusing on right now is the CER, that when we got at least half of the staff certified in CER, it was going to become a requirement. And so the more you get your staff certified and meet a metric or a benchmark, you then can incorporate that into their job description as a requirement, which really is wonderful in that it exceeds expectations in most other organizations that are around us. If you look at the bottom line, there are 17.1% currently four of our staff that have diamond certification, which is all four, which we are so proud of. And there are two more that are testing soon that we will have a total of six, and the entire department is being encouraged to achieve this goal. In so doing, our Department of Surgery, and you can see Edna in one of the pictures at the bottom, we do award those with the diamond certification with an embroidered lab coat as recognition of their accomplishment and deserving of something very special for all the hard work that they did. The other thing that we've done during my time at Nemours is create a clinical ladder for SBD technicians, and I realize this print is a little bit small, but wanted to be inclusive in the presentation. We have clinical ladders for registered nurses. We developed a clinical ladder for our surgical technologists. And in alignment with those clinical ladders, we developed one for the SPD technicians. And you can see it's broken down very similarly, like any other clinical ladder that we have, from certifications to BLS experience, membership, annual continuing education. There is some crucial core activities that we have. And then Nemours has 10 standards of behavior, which we ask the SPD technicians, like we do every associate at Nemours, to be able to speak to how you demonstrate those standards. It does require some writing and narrative and sometimes some support, but from a level one all the way over to a level four, each of those expectations increases a little bit. And then there is compensation for them that is budgeted based on their achievement and their level. So there is some incentive to be able to actively participate in this. This is a representation of where the staff fall on the clinical ladder. And you can see many of them are a level two, but we do have quite a few level fours, which is really great. Our supervisors also qualify for this, so that is also motivating for them. One of the things to consider for future work, we were looking through a lot of the training and education of SPD technicians, knowing that there are a lot of independent businesses, LLCs, that are teaching SPD technicians how to be SPD technicians. Some of this has moved into like the community college setting, but not all. There is opportunity for someone that wants to be an SPD technician to read a book, do your 400 hours, and take your certification. And what we were trying to consider is how to formalize curriculum so that it is the same for everyone, because right now it's highly variable. There are a lot of organizations that oversee or contribute to some of the regulations and some of the guidance and the certifications that happen in SPD, but we're not really able to find a standard of curriculum like there is for a nursing program or a surgical technology program for SPD technicians. And we would love to be a part of that work and to figure out what that looks like and maybe even be sponsors of that work at our organization. Thus, the reference to the curriculum at the end, as well as institutional orientation and onboarding. That, too, is all very highly variable, and maybe having some very practical guidelines as to how that works might facilitate some of the training, education, and onboarding of our SPD technicians. And Edna is going to close us out with our three key takeaways.
So again, our goal was to develop internal benchmarks for SPD. And the benchmarks that Kwame represented earlier, I was able to really use those in my advocation for additional FTEs for our 2025 budget. And this was the first time that I didn't get 1,000 questions from the CNO. I think he understood the ask, the why. We were able to show, let's see if we can go back, and our metrics, how we've increased year over year. The one thing that I really did want to represent to our CNO is the quality of SPD. And I don't see it here, but I thought we would have represented it. But this year we only had, what, 4 or 5 incidences of bioburden? And so to me, that really speaks to the quality of SPD. We have what we call an MGT meeting every month with our chiefs and chairs, our chief nurse, our chief of surgery, and we go over these metrics because we want them to be armed with the information. So when they have surgeons come to them and say, you know, it's all the time we have an issue with our tray, they know that that's not true. And so, and even with this, and we talked about, you know, I asked Kwame a little bit ago, how does your SPD tech know that they are performing to expectation? You know, are we being clear of what the expectations are, and are we supporting them through that? And so, you know, there are times when, you know, we may have to address their performance, but at the end of the day, there are many conversations that happen before we get to disciplinary action. But again, you know, my question is for all of you. How are you all determining SPD metrics at your organization? And because we would love to hear your feedback. We don't have all the answers, but we would love to be able to understand what you all are doing out in the community. Any thoughts? Yeah. So we do. We utilize SPM. Yeah.
Can I also ask a second question?
Sure.
I can't remember. I know there's several different standards on how long to hang flexible scopes for. Is 14 days one of the professional organization standards? I just don't remember.
Yeah, no worries. And I will take a shot at it, and then I'm going to hand it over to Kwame, who's the real professional here. But when we actually looked at the evidence, there wasn't a standard in terms of whether it's 7 days or 14 days that we can find.
There are several standards. But what I want to know is, if you're going to use 14 days, have you written up a quality study so that the next time an accrediting body comes?
Absolutely. Yep.
We use AORN, or we use
PA, or we use whatever, SGMA.
So if you're not doing any of those three, have you written something up that says how you are doing it? Because
they're going to want to know. Yes. So as Kwame stated earlier, and again, I'll turn it over to him in a second because he's the real professional here. We included in that trial infection prevention,
our regulatory team, and we presented it to the Quality and Patient Safety Committee. So we went to them first and said, this is something that we want to do, and we would like the feedback. And they had a lot of great feedback, a lot of great questions, one of which was how we were going to determine that we were successful. So what we did is we audited this process. They did protein swabbing for 3 months, and we didn't have one incidence of protein on those scopes. And so then we took it back to the Quality and Safety Committee, and we presented our data, and then we got the approval to move forward from 7 to 14 days.
Are you Joint Commission?
Joint Commission, yes. And Kwame, I don't know. Yeah. So I will tell you, we just recently had our Joint Commission survey in July of this year, and we had no issues with our scope reprocessing. Correct. So Kwame, I don't want to steal your thunder.
Yeah, so we have the data to prove it. This was a very in-depth undertaking that we did, and we're happy to have had the blessing of all the the stakeholders in it. With that being said, once it was approved, we went and updated our reliable methods and also our policy on scope processing. So it is in it's been aligned with whatever that we did.
Yeah, during the Joint Commission survey, the surveyor spent hours in our SPD, hours, combing through everything. Now, we can talk about a finding, but the scope reprocessing was not one of them. Thank you.
And thank you. And it's another, there's an article coming out in Healthcare Purchasing News, November, December edition. So I urge you all to take a look at it. It's an in-depth article that we're proud to put out there on this process. Thank you.
Yes.
Yes. So I know when you take the CRCST course, scope processing is definitely part of, the learning process to be fully certified as a CRCST. But on since the introduction of CER, a lot of hospitals would love to see technicians come in with CER if you're going to handle scopes. We've been taking CRCST new entrants as technicians, but we'll give them 6 months to study and take the CER. Hope that, and say that again?
No.
We show grace to registered nurses who are not BSN prepared, looking for that 80% of our nursing staff to be BSN prepared, and they have 3 years to acquire their BSN. But because it's a requirement in the state of Delaware, they have to have that certificate upon hire. There is no window to get it. We have, and what we're working on now, is the CER to give them within 6 months of date of hire. Because of the focus on scopes across the country, that credentialing is really important. Appreciating what Kwame said, it is part of the CRCST, but not to the detail that the CER is. But it's state by state. It is required in Delaware, so we don't really have an option to onboard somebody that doesn't have it.
Now, we have created a pipeline with SPD, so we do partner with some of the VOTEC schools in the community. So we will bring them in as students and allow them to get their 400 hours. And then, obviously, once they get their CRCST, then we would invite them back. I'm sorry. Yes. Thank you.
It's actually a working interview.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to answer that?
I didn't hear you properly. Can you?
It doesn't sound like your mic is on. We can't really hear you.
Sorry.
It's okay.
So in SPD, in my SPD, all technicians are all around, should be all rounded. You know, you don't stay on one tax for the whole week or, you know, forever. So by so doing, we look at workload for the day and see where we deem fit to, you know, put associates for the day. So there are, you know, there's schedules, daily schedules that we do, and should anybody in a specific assignment find him or herself overwhelmed, they will inform supervisor or a lead to come to their aid, and if we need to reassign other people, staff somewhere else, we will do that.
The only thing that I can add to that is that our case volume is somewhat level, a bit predictable. The other thing that SPM does offer is there's a tray list that comes out each day the night before, and so we have a total volume of the number of trays and instruments that we're going to need, which again is another predictor of how many people you need. I don't know that Monday through Friday it varies too much. If you're doing 50 to 60 cases a day, very predictable cases, you know the tray volume that you're dealing with. We are a level one trauma center, and so our weekends we staff quite a bit later for sure. But SPM has the opportunity to provide us with much of the data which Kwame artfully put together to be able to present and use and keep in mind when you are staffing and scheduling and looking ahead. Does that answer the question?
I would also say the future work of this, and we're still perfecting it, is to really tie this to the regulatory requirement. So we're working on that. But the one thing that we're overlaying over SPM is Bluefin. And I'm not sure if you've heard of Bluefin, but it's kind of like OneSource on steroids. It's a IFU software that kind of, you know, you scan your tray in and decontam, and then it estimates how long, based on the IFU of those instruments in the tray, how long it should take you to, process the tray. So Kwame can go into that data to see if there's any trays that are that's an outlier for that day, and then go back and pull those trays if necessary. And he can see the tray and he can see the associate that managed it. Mm-hmm.
So most of the scopes that we spoke about moving from 14, those are high level disinfected through the Medivator. So I don't know if that answers your question, but We do have scopes that we that go through the V Pro as well, but most of the scopes that go through the motivators are the GI scopes.
And I would say we are also very blessed to work for our organization. We typically don't have a problem with capital requests. So, you know, our scopes, as scopes, you know, become end of life, we have a process for replacing them so that we're not getting, you know, too far out of having old scopes. So there wasn't any scopes that we needed to replace during this process. Many of them are fairly newer scopes.
Every year we assess the technicians. So when you have some technicians who move away and you have new ones that come in on a yearly basis based on what they have. So most of the tech force that you saw are techs who have been there long enough and have more certification than, you know, their tenure is higher than those who are tech two and three. So somebody might come in with CRCST, CIS, they probably will fall in tech two. But if they don't have, you know, the third certification, they will not fall in. So that's why there is a zero in tech three. So most of the, you know, most of the tech fours last year were in tech threes. So every year they might move a step further.
Well, I think too, the goal of the CER and getting to 60%, I think that is an accomplishment in it by itself, which is like the two. So every level requires an additional certification. Mm-hmm. And so we're really encouraging people to get their certifications, and that would require three of them. And so right now we're kind of at that place where we're pushing people to get two. And so that's why there's a gap, I think, in three, because we need to be a little bit more supportive and encouraging to get folks to achieve that third certification. The CRCST is required in the state of Delaware, yes.
As well as PA in Delaware. I mean, PA in New Jersey, because we have sites in those areas.
So, I mean, you know, when I joined the MOS, as you know, a year and a half, and, you know, I came from a system that I had eight agency staff. You know, it was a tough market. Everybody was moving to agency. I lost a lot of techs to agency. I had to, you know, in return, get the work going. So when I joined the MOS, they did not have any openings. And so I was very eager to see what had, you know, they had started already for me to continue to keep, you know, these technicians. Is everybody going to stay? No. As we speak right now, I think I have two openings. And the last time I checked, I had like 27 applicants on the two openings. So that should goes a long way to say that it is a very, you know, great place to work. I've worked at a lot of places, and the support that I get for SPD and the MOS is very, 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 very great.
Yeah, I would say that our culture at NMORS is to really, I mean, at the SPD team are the professionals for high-level disinfection and sterilization. And so we have created a high-level disinfection and sterilization committee, which Kwame is the co-chair of that committee. So any department in our organization that is performing sterilization, they have to go through Kwame or the SPD team to ensure that they're using the correct IFU, that they are, you know, cleaning the instruments as appropriate. So SPD truly is the voice, is the source of truth at our organization. We also, as leaders, as the AVP, our round in SPD, we make a big deal when they get their Golden Crown status. We invite the CNO to that ceremony. I mean, it's a big ceremony. It is a donning of, you know, the white coat. We invite the CNO, the VP. You know, we make a big deal about it. So I would truly say that our organization, SPD, is truly the source of truth for sterilization, and they are at every table.
I would also want to credit Kwame, and you know him. He's very unassuming, but I think there's a balance between holding people accountable and telling them what's expected, and honoring them and trying to support their education and training and lift them up because of how important they are in the organization. And so it is a balance that he has been able to maintain, such that I don't believe there's one disgruntled person really in your department at this point in time. So he's doing a really great job.
We got the microphones working now, so please wait for a microphone.
So you had mentioned a software platform, I believe Bluefin. I don't know if I that correctly, but you had mentioned that this helped you or estimate timelines of how long each instrument tray should take. So this is something that you had to build in addition to SPM implementation. So you had to put in what was in a tray. Is that not available in SPM? They can't give you an estimation of how long this tray will take, so you had to purchase additional software to find out how long it would take for a tray to be processed?
I think the purpose of Bluefin is the IFU.
I'm sorry, go ahead and say that again.
The purpose of Bluefin is the IFU, the instructions for use. So this software compiles all the IFUs for the instrumentation. So it's a cloud-based software. So when that tray is scanned, the estimation is based on the IFU of those instruments in the tray. So that's really the difference.
I'll talk to you more about that offline.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
Yeah, so Bluefin also, Steris, it's in partnership with Steris. I'm not going to say they bought them out, but they are in partnership with them. So they're in the process of integrating it with SPM.
Okay. Because that was going to be my other question, because if we already know how long things are taking with timestamps in SPM, I mean, is there really a utility with having this additional layer of software?
Yeah, so the software, it gives you a hot stop. So if you soak in the tray and it tells you 5 minutes soak time, all right, you cannot skip and go to the next. It has to be the time that, you know, the software is telling you to. So you can't skip the process.
Can't skip this.
Right, right. I'm not saying skip the process. I mean, we already have the IFUs in our own platform that manages IFUs.
So. Yeah, it was just something that we felt was a great addition to our team. So also with the Bluefin, if there is a complex assembly or disassembly, you can literally take a video, upload it, and so when the tech is in the moment, they can hit the video and see how to disassemble or assemble. So it was just an added step that we thought was, you know, appropriate for our SPD technicians.
Thank you.
I don't think it's necessary, but it's something that we thought was a great addition.
Thank you. Great presentation. I loved what you did with the white coat and for the diamond status. I was wondering, do you do similar celebrations of highly productive people? Because back when I was in the tech, and a lot of times There's some frustration, education, great. But the people that are doing the things, we don't typically have ceremonies for those guys. Do you guys do anything to celebrate them? Because that celebration that you have with the white coat is something like strive for.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, when you're trying to reward productivity, because most of them, super productive people are altruistically super productive.
Mm-hmm.
There's some people that if you start rewarding productivity, all of a sudden they have a different gear that you've never seen. How have you guys rewarded like the most productive or the elite productive people with this project?
So, well, SPD and the Moors, we celebrate, you know, each and every technician daily, you know, through encouragement, you know, lunches and all that. But I have thought about that. But then once we, you know, I feel like once you start doing that, you know, you have technicians potentially rushing through trays to be, you know, to meet the product, you know, the productivity goal line. And that might not be something that, you know, as a department, we want to cultivate. So, you know, employee of the month, possible. We haven't instituted that, but possible, and it's, that's something that I'll take from you.
Yeah, I like that feedback. We also have a kudos system. So if there is an employee that you or an associate that you want to recognize for something great that they did, you can, Kwame has the ability to go into our kudos and send them a personal thank you. That's very public. But I do like that idea. Anything else? Thank you so much.